We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Brunson looks to inbound.
They still need a three. They need a two.
Brunson gets it. Brunson drives, pulls up, jump shot. Won't go. Rebound Durant. They've got a foul right away. And they do with 7.1 remaining. Brunson got a good look. Everything was falling for him here in the fourth. Not that time.
Just going to do a quick reset because we're in hour three. Hopefully it's not a full hour of hour three, but
it will not
be. Yeah. Shout out to all of you still watching. Real quick, shout out to the fine folks over at WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit www.winbet.com to start winning. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. Download, bet, win. Next up.
GD Nation, what's going on, GD? Y'all are too tough on RJ and Randall. It's too much. I agree to disagree.
I don't even think I've been that tough on RJ and Randall in general. They just haven't been performing. That's the bottom line.
Don't
they need to do better. That's it.
Yeah.
Don't know where the blame is going if it's not on them too.
Yeah. Joe Vogel, if nothing else, I think this year is important to establish Jalen Brunson as a star to attract other stars. That's done. Everybody knows what everybody knew what Jalen, every smart basketball player knew what Jalen Brunson was coming into this year. KD signs here in 2019 if they had a guy like him. I don't even know how to respond to that. He's a star, and I think there's a real chance. But I do think they need to stay around 500 for him to make the All-Star team.
Hope so.
Hopefully he will. Philly Jordan, the lack of shooting isn't recency bias. Last in the NBA in 3-point shoot percentage, and our supposed good NBA shooter is 39% for 3 years. Who's that? Let's stop making
RJ. Acceptable. RJ.
Oh yeah, no, I don't.
Well, that wouldn't be 3-point percent. No, the way I thought, because in terms of field goal percentage, although he's been, you know, early 40s, which isn't very good. I'm trying to figure out
I don't, just for, to be very clear, I don't think the lack, I don't think the lack of shooting is recency bias. I do think the lack of shooting is something that will get better. Are there some, is the team structurally flawed? I've been saying the team has been structurally flawed for 2 months. They built the team around three guys who don't want to take threes. You can't have a team that is ultimately successful like that. They need to move off of one of RJ or Randall, and probably both at some point in the next year to 2 years. No one's disagreeing with that.
Yeah, especially just not at the same time in terms of them moving off. It's probably, yes, it would probably have to be one, then yes, the other is supposed to two pronged.
Yes, for sure. Mike Conrad, RJ and Julius Randle's minutes be decreased without it hurting their trade value? I don't care anymore. I just want the team to win and play the right players. Again, this is bigger picture stuff that they care about. They are not, if you're waiting for them to play, neither of those guys will continue to start. And then ask yourself, if two players start together, which these two players will continue to do as long as they are here, that is never going to change. If two players start together, what is the fewest amount of minutes? And they're tied to $100 million contracts. What is the fewest amount of minutes that those two players can play together in an average NBA game? I would posit, realistically, 15? That's low.
Yeah.
14, maybe, if you're pushing it?
Well, we see it when RJ plays with the second unit. And that doesn't happen enough for it to be like, oh wow, they've really staggered it to such a degree. It just doesn't happen that much. Tibbs relies on his guys, and they are his guys through and through.
I'll give Tibbs this. Those dudes, I mean, they led the NBA in minutes played together certainly 2 years ago, and they were close last year as well. They started out this year playing 30 minutes a game together. And then on the West Coast trip, they only played 23 minutes a game together. Once he went to the 9-man rotation, their time together went down significantly. So it is clear that they know that this is not working, but I don't know how far you could push it.
Are they going to keep playing 9 men? I mean, that to me was because
Tibbs said that it's back to 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we saw 11 in the first quarter today.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, it wasn't, you know, your standard 11, but exactly. Yeah.
Good question though, Mike. GD Nation, this team can win with 45 with RJ and Randall
over 2 years, 100%.
Jesus, Jeremy.
I'm kidding.
No,
I'm
was
trying
funny.
To lighten the mood. I know. Again, like here's my issue. They have Jalen Brunson, who's been better than both of them, and the two of them together, and we have seen for 3 years that it's really not a great combination. And I like, part of it was, yeah, get a suitable point guard who can actually help them. And we're still seeing it not work. Like, RJ and Randall should have enough synergy by now where they figured it out. And just adding a point guard should help that. And it's not. It's just not the case. I say that as someone who is of the mindset, it's like, yeah, I could see the Knicks winning like 43 wins, but I also wasn't necessarily expecting RJ to play in every single game, or Randall's pretty much an iron. I mean, they both play a lot of games, but I just didn't necessarily see them playing every game together. And I think that's where they then, you know, you try to get wins there. So I don't know, man, but I say no.
Again, I will point politely. Cleaning the Glass, wonderful website, has a wonderful metric. It's called, it's just they call it differential, which is the difference in how your team does against its opponent when players are on the floor versus when players are off the floor. And RJ Barrett and Julius Randle in those two metrics measure in the 11th and 13th percentile of the entire league, respectively. And when you look at how many minutes those guys have played, 600 going into, this was going into tonight, 655 non-garbage time minutes for RJ, 625 minutes, non-garbage time minutes for Randall. And then you look at the guys below them in that same metric. There's like a handful of guys that have played a ton of minutes this season. not a lot. So this is what it is. The team just does not perform well when these guys are on the floor, and they really don't perform well when these guys are on the floor together. It's a shitty situation. D. Jones, Macri can't help but bring RJ up all the time. He's the most important figure in the organization, and he's playing abominably. Mm-hmm. Like the snowman, except the snowman is cute, or at least the snowman in the reindeer movie.
He has not been cromulent.
He has not been cromulent.
No. Abominable is a better word for it.
Abominable. Yes. Robert Cross, first. Hey, here he is. Robert Cross, first time, long time, John. Sorry, I was too busy in Puerto Vallarta. I could pronounce that, for the holiday to watch Randall's crap. Anything else new? Hashtag 53 wins. Robert, nothing is new. Sean Ford, people rightly criticizing RJ and Julius Randle on defense, but Obi was atrocious in the fourth. Obi has not played well for a couple of weeks now.
No.
It just hasn't been good. He hasn't been hitting shots. He hasn't been finishing. He had one decent finish tonight. It just hasn't been good, and defensively it's been bad. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Clark treated him like a traffic cone 5 or 6 times. Every bucket counts.
Yeah,
100%. It's tougher to kill Obi, A, because he's a bench player, and B, because he's a player on a rookie contract. Julius Randle's making $24 million this year. It's pay for play. So I'm sorry if Julius gets more criticism because of that, but he earns it. JJ, trade Julius to the Suns for Jay Crowder would solve quite a few problems. Hashtag JB is him. Would need to be a couple more players involved, but I would love to see that trade.
Yeah, I just don't think the Suns would. There are other options they can have that are,
you never know,
better. Of course you never
know. Never say never, Jerry.
You're just saying that because you want to believe so badly. I want to believe too, but there are better options out there that they can acquire.
Robert Cross with another one. This is for Cutlets. I will look into Rocket Reach tomorrow. I don't know what that is. By the way, where are we shipping Randall? Any updates? Hashtag 53 wins.
Oh, thank you, Robert. And again, I don't think he's going anywhere this season. I just don't. Unless it's a neutral offer, as I've said, I just don't think it will be. So, yeah.
Frank Corona Jr., thank you for the contribution. I don't understand what they're doing. They're 11th. They're in 11th, and they've gotten lucky with injury matchups. Has it ever been more obvious for a team to trade their vets and focus exclusively on the youth? This is not last year. You want to take it, Jeremy? It's Julius Randle. That's the conversation. Yeah. You want to trade Julius Randle? So does everybody.
Well, it's Julius Randle, and it's Derrick Rose.
Okay, 12 minutes right. a night that haven't aren't very impressive right now. You know,
right?
It's like that's not fine. Get Derrick Rose out of here. It's not changing anybody's life.
Right. And now listen, hopefully Emmanuel Quickley is perfectly fine. If he does miss time, then you have to imagine, okay, is Tibbs going with a 9-man rotation? Or is he just going to go 10 men and have Deuce and Rose in there together? And then at that point, who is Rose really obstructing? He's not obstructing Archie Diacono. He's not obstructing Mikulic. That's the main point here. Evan Fournier, I'd like to see him move, but only in a deal that's right. If he's not in the rotation, then it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it's just Julius Randle. And to an extent, I mean, obviously RJ Barrett's still on his rookie contract. I still don't think they're going to move him this year. He is someone who's being detrimental to your team. And you're not going to move him, and you're probably not going to sit him, and you're probably not going to reduce his minutes significantly. So, what exactly does trading veterans do? As you're saying, John, it's primarily Julius Randle. And it's like, okay, well, you're trading Julius Randle for what? What are you attaching for it to be Julius Randle? It just feels like cutting off your nose to spite your face in some ways. I want Julius Randle to not be on this team longer. I am very much in agreement, but not at the price point that would cause it to be harmful for the Knicks. You could talk about the internal development. You could talk about Obi Toppin, all these things. I think they're valid points. But if the front office doesn't care about this year's team, I don't think we should care as much about it either. We will, because we're fans. I don't mean that in terms of don't give a shit. I just mean that in terms of if they feel it's not about this year, then we should bring the same energy that it's really not about this year. And we want to watch it because it's entertainment and we love this team and we want to see growth in every which way, but not at the point in which it might hurt us in the long term. That's really it.
I will stand by what I wrote this summer.
Andrew.
I'm processing what you said. I don't have as much trust in the front office as you do to be like, well, if they think something, neither should we.
No.
I think they should prioritize.
We know. That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about their energy towards it, right? Mm-hmm. Not like I'm saying in terms of like if they feel that we're good, we don't need to make any altering moves. No matter what we do, we're probably going to be around this range as long as Jalen Brunson stays healthy. Then there's no need to force it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so in total, I agree with that overall. I don't want
to. I'm not saying the front office knows all, and so we need to respect that. That's not my point at all. Mm-hmm. Not one Whipper.
Let's be very specific about this, though. What you're saying as it relates to the comment is specifically this. The front office does not care about the fact, does not care enough about the fact that we have to watch Julius Randle lollygag through defensive possessions to make what they consider to be a bad Julius Randle deal at the expense of possibly having Julius Randle's workable, tradable salary available to them to make a deal that is far more palatable to them 3 months or more likely 7 months from now, which is their priority. That is their priority. Correct. Tomorrow's game or whatever the fuck they play next, Tuesday's game, Thursday, that is not their priority. It is the trade that happens 3 months or again, more likely 7 months from now. That's what Jeremy's saying.
I got it.
But I just want to be very clear. I disagree with that. Get him the fuck off my team now.
There's the Obi Toppin part of this that
it's not even about Obi. I can't stand watching the guy anymore. Fucking painful. Wow.
Again, this is how the juxtaposition works. You're the heart, I'm the head. We try to coexist here. And that's all the front office can do.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. But I do. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
It impacts your enjoyment. And it impacts mine too. I get it.
We call Julius a popcorn defender in my group chat because every time it's time to play defense, he just grabs his popcorn and watches it unfold. Which is like accurate the way these clips have been going on have been broadcast about him just watching plays unfold in front of him. All right. Let's get these rolling because we're headed for a 3-hour stream if we don't.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We're going to get them rolling. Max Culler, do you think trading for a star is the right path to take, or would you rather than take another route? I'm nervous about giving up the future. They're all in on trading for a star. The only other path is tanking, and they're not going to tank. So why bother thinking about
it? Well, they could still be bad and finish with a bad enough record that gets them into a position to draft a player that they really feel has a high ceiling. And if the right star becomes available, then it's not black and white. That's all I'll say in response to Max's comment.
Things will have not gone according to plan if that's the way they go. Bill Drutaj. I know you quibble with that.
We can get into another time.
Love Cam, Grimes, and IQ, but there's no accountability right now, and this fan base is being gaslit into rooting for a play-in spot. Give me that top 10 pick instead. I would, if you gave me the choice right now to sign for either this 7th, yes, 8th, maybe, best lottery odds versus whatever this outcome of the season is going to be, I would sign for the lottery odds.
Sure. I just don't think it's gaslighting to the extent that is being displayed here. Like the team wants to win. They want to make the playoffs. Like that's their intention.
Yep.
It seems. So if that's what they want,
no, it's what they want.
You know, I'm going to root for it, but I'm going to be totally fine if the team bottoms out and doesn't accomplish that and gets a good pick. And we can talk about, well, expectations, they fell below it. Like, yeah, well, there's a really nice silver lining and opportunity for them to like actually do something about this season and make it feel like, well, you developed well, you got a really good player here in Jalen Brunson. What more can you do next?
Yep. Well said. Sam Garcia's mom. This can't be a real bit.
I want the whole family in on this point. Sam Garcia's brother, Sam Garcia's grandma.
Wonderful.
Sam Garcia's lunch lady. Everybody's associated with Sam Garcia. I want you as part of our post-game chat.
Disappointing to see RJ continue to play hero ball instead of passing to the open teammate. Number hashtag 4 Rose stan. Oh, okay. We got some Derrick Rose love. I don't know that I would define it as hero ball. He gets tunnel vision for sure. He like misses guys that he needs to pass to. He also has been making some nice passes. He just thinks the shots are going to go in, which I get that is hero ball. I get it. He thinks every shot is going to go in. That's fair. Yeah. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah. He found Mitch on some nice passes.
He's been doing that since he came into the league.
Of course. Yeah. Listen, you'd like to see more playmaking from him than someone like Quentin Grimes. As good as we can talk about Quentin Grimes, just more a reflection of wanting RJ to be more than what he is.
And how about this? Quentin Grimes has been a markedly better playmaker from year one to year two. I've not seen that development from RJ. That's the frustrating part.
I'm fine with RJ believing every shot he takes is going to go in. My problem is that it's the shots he's taking that he needs to ease up on. He doesn't need to take bad shots.
I know.
Keep the energy. That's fine. Just do better.
Yeah. There's a few that come to mind tonight. Juanon, what's going on? Salute, KFS. So, Miles Turner signed with CAA. Please tell me that means nothing for us because I'm getting paranoid. And yes, I probably shouldn't have smoked the tea leaves, in quotes, after reading them. That was very funny. I don't think there's anything there.
More centers.
Yeah, I just...
Trade for more centers. Yes.
I don't see it.
I neither.
I'd be very surprised. For guy in NYC, losing Burks was quietly a big loss. Need his 3-D.
If you ask John, we should have mortgaged everything to make sure that...
Build around Burks.
Exactly. Build around Burks. That needs to be a team, a super chatter.
No one argued that Alec Burks was a good player when he was in the right role. He was an incredibly helpful player.
Of course he was.
You know, he's not a guy you factor into your plans if you're the Knicks, where they're at. You know, but like, would he help them this year? Yeah, he would help them.
Whose minutes is he taking though?
Cam's, which is why I'm very against the like, yes, Burks.
But if Cam's not taking RJ's minutes, then why would Burks be taking RJ's minutes? Right. You know what I mean?
No, I'm that was where my little dream scenario came from. It's because like in what world would Alec Burks be getting minutes for the 2022-23 Knicks be okay? It would only be a world in which like neither RJ or Julius Randle was here. That's
right
where it came from. Anyway, Christian Cruz, are there any ideal trade scenarios you guys have in mind? Assuming we're at around 500 in February.
Can we get to February first?
Yeah.
Can we get to December?
Yeah.
Not just in life. not against you, Christian. I can't even think like the December 15th deadline's coming soon. And I can't even figure out what's what there. So much time between now and then. I know you're saying at around 500, but I think this team they're going to be in the mix no matter what, most likely. At least I imagine.
The most fascinating scenario to me personally would be if they are two isn't enough. Man, three probably isn't even enough. If they're like four and a half games out of 10th at the trade deadline. And they have deals on the table that are just straight like your team is not getting better. Like they are sending out talent, you know, and they're getting back picks, like a young player maybe, but probably picks. What do they do in that scenario? That is a fast, and I don't think that scenario is completely off the table. It would take a couple things happening. It would take the Wizards continuing to win. It would take the Pacers continuing to win. I don't think that's nuts, though.
I was talking to Prez about this. And he made a good point. Or I was thinking of like ways that the Knicks could operate where it's like, all right, yeah, you're moving, for example, like a Derrick Rose type player. And what Prez said, and I think it's true, is that the Knicks midseason have not necessarily gone the route where they're taking a step back in terms of like Tibbs and his rotation. Like first season, they added Derrick Rose. Second season, they added Cam Reddish, and they sent out in both of those trades players who weren't even in the rotation. So like it's now about like, if you're going to operate this deadline, are you adding to the talent level that you see? Because I think you could do both. I think there are actually players you could deal. And I've got some things in mind that I'll save for a little bit later. Like you could you could find ways to deal some rotation players and still make upgrades, and you're not losing a ton in terms of what you're giving up because you got some back on the back end for those other guys. But we can, again, dissect that more later. It's just, I don't see them taking a step back per se. I think they'll try to stay neutral at worst, hopefully try to improve the roster at best in that case.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Hey guys, quick break to tell you about WinBet, the official sports book of Knicks Film School. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WinBet is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Win Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Win Rewards on WinBet. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, the WNBA, college football, and more. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WinBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet 100, win 100. Download the WinBet app now or visit WYNNBet.com. That's WYNNBet.com to start winning. Download, bet, win. It's that simple.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Dan Hidalgo, it feels like it's time to let Reddish cook more. I think he's
He's cooking fine.
Yeah, he's cooking fine. Yeah. Do you think the fact that he's not hunting for shots is a result of a lack of confidence or coaching? I think it's called playing within the offense. I think he's doing a beautiful job of playing within the offense. I think his attacking of closeouts has are just a thing of beauty. I love watching every time he attacks the closeouts. Like, those are the shots he should be taking. And open catch and shoot threes. Like, you could... If you play enough minutes and you're on the floor with the right guys, you could score 20 a night attacking closeouts and hitting your catch and shoot threes in this league, you know, with a well-timed cut here and there without ever having a play designed for you to initiate offense. I'm not saying Cam isn't good enough to initiate offense, but I think for right now, we're like, we weren't sure if this guy was going to be in the league in a few years the way he played in the preseason. I'm very happy with where Cam is.
No small parts. Only small actors.
Only small. Very well said. Requiem Gaming. Hello from the land of enchantment. Fun game. I would have been enchanted with a win. Me and you both. But a lot of good signs nonetheless. RJ was perfectly cromulent. Now that the wins the vocab word of the day.
Cromulent. Acceptable or adequate. The continental breakfast was perfectly cromulent.
Is that that's the sentence they gave you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I had to.
I'm going
to
incorporate that in my vocabulary because that's
I may name tomorrow's newsletter perfectly cromulent. Thank you, Alex.
That should be the tag for this podcast. Perfectly cromulent.
Yeah. I like that.
With a link to the definition in the...
Exactly. Yeah.
Or just link to a picture of a continental breakfast. Sam Garcia, why was Grimes not in down the stretch to guard Ja? I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you. I don't know. Joe Vogel, so frustrating because we have some actually awesome individual defenders on this team, but that's canceled out by others who are just awful on at defense. I said at the halftime Zoom, and shout out to Jason, he pushed back a little bit, probably correctly so, but I was like, I think given how many minutes he plays, you could argue that Julius Randle is a top five most detrimental defender in the league, given the Knicks scheme and how like everybody has to, you know, theoretically kind of play together and be on a string, and how teams just come in and know, like, if I move, if I pass the ball, like, this guy's probably either going to get lazy or get confused. I don't, bottom five is probably too strong, but like, and then when you throw in RJ's struggles this year, yeah, it's really freaking frustrating because those guys play a ton of minutes. And you look at the on-off numbers on defense, and they tell no lies.
I just can't help but feel when I see RJ and Julius together where it's like, all right, if you moved one, you're left with the other one, obviously. But it's like, if you got someone instead of RJ Barrett down the line who could quarterback the defense in a way that like makes Quentin Grimes just look like a good defender. And he is a very good defender, but someone who's just like, that's their bread and butter is just solid defensive chops. What does that do for Julius's defensive game? Like, to me, he is then becomes, you know, more of a glaring hole on defense, but it also makes me wonder, does he actually pick up the slack knowing he's the weakest link?
So. No,
maybe not, but it's more the thought process of you have two defenders right now who aren't defending. Or like, I don't mean to call them as like defenders, right? You have two players who are not defending, and it's collapsing in. And Jalen Brunson tries, but he's limited by his size and just the fact that he is not a naturally gifted defender. And it's all collapsing in on itself, and it's apparent with the 27th worst defensive rating. And it's why I just keep thinking about if you bolster that defense in some way by just improving the starting lineup down the line, because I still don't think Julius Randle is going to be the option for leaving. How does that impact him, and has it impact the rest of the team? And if your thought process is like it doesn't, it's fair, because what we've seen, it doesn't seem like there's a lot that motivates him. But I don't know. There's part of me that just can't help but wonder if he is the absolute weakest link, unquestionable, that he's not going to be like, yep, I can at least do a better job than where I'm at right now.
I don't want to. Oh God, how do I not sound like I have it out for this guy? I will just say this: I don't think it will make a difference. I don't think there is a motivation issue here with Julius Randle. That is my personal belief. You may feel differently. I do just want to cite, because if you look at the on-off numbers on defense, Brunson, like, they're what?
I'm familiar.
I know you. I'm for anybody listening or watching who doesn't know, like, Randle's at the bottom, not only of the Knicks, but he's at the bottom of the league. RJ is like a tick higher, but also at the bottom. And then Jalen Brunson is not, his defensive on-offs are also not good. He plays so many minutes with RJ and Randle that I think that needs to be factored into the conversation. I just looked it up. It's not a huge sample size, so I don't want to make everything out of it, but in 193 possessions this year, so I don't know, give or take 100 minutes, the Knicks defense with Jalen Brunson on the court and Julius Randle off the court is giving up 93.5 points per 100 possessions. And that's non-garbage time minutes. Now, 93.5 would obviously be leading the league by a country mile on the defensive end. They're also scoring 117.1 to plus 23 net rating. How do you like them apples? And most of those lineups, or at least a lot of those lineups, have RJ Barrett in them. So, like, RJ's defense has not been good this year, but RJ's trying. Like, he's doing the things that you're supposed to do, and he like knows where to go. Like, he'll get beat on the occasional backdoor, but like, teams aren't looking at RJ Barrett like as like with a target on his back. Like, they may put him in pick and rolls, correctly so, because he can't get around a pick right now. But I don't think he doesn't kill you in the way that Julius does. And I think the numbers back that up. So I don't know.
We won't know until they do something.
Before I'm dead, please. Matt Smith. John, if you're looking for a positive, yes, give me a positive. That Mavs pick is looking like he could be destined for 11th or 14. Pray to God it doesn't fall out of the top 10.
Mavericks lost tonight, by the way.
Hell yeah. They're not going to be. The Mavs are not going to not make the play-in. That's not going to happen.
I mean, it takes an injury. That's all, that's all it is. Frustrating part is the Knicks now only have the 9th and the 15th pick because the Mavs pick is 10th.
Oh, it's 10th? Okay.
Yeah. But it's fine. You can want to keep rooting for the losses because there are easier stretches of games that they will have where they will win.
Watch Luka get injured and the Mavs go full tank mode.
And then they get Victor and then we just cry.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do. Thanks, Matt. That make me feel a little bit better. Sam Garcia's dad. Okay. The wife and I just returned from visiting our son and she wanted to contribute to KFS.
Thank you.
Amazing bit.
Visiting our son. So he is a kid. I'm guessing he's in college in that probably. Sense. Or maybe he's or a grown
Thanksgiving.
Man.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wonderful. The Garcias are the first family of KFS.
Yes.
Serious question. Is there no way to camouflage Fournier's defense and get his shooting in the game? None. The issue with Fournier is the version of Fournier that we saw this year was not the version of Fournier. Like that dude had his soul taken from him. Like Fournier could play decent defense. He wasn't doing it this year. And the fact that they have not given him a minute of court time since they made the decision to excise him from the rotation leads me to believe that you are never going to see Evan Fournier play another game for the Knicks again.
Yeah. Barring like significant injuries where they have to dress guys. And even then, Svi Mykhailiuk, baby.
I was about to say, I'd rather see Svi. Better chance he's with the team next year.
Yeah.
Although, actually, though, that's probably not true with the contract situation. Better chance he has a positive impact on the team next year. GD Nation with one more. This is not the fan base that lets players figure it out. It's game 20. By game 40, Jalen Brunson will be called trash. Man. GD Nation, way to zag. This is the ultimate zag today.
Just like also not game 20 for RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. Like we're on multiple years of this. Like I appreciate the take of like pump the brakes. Like it's a whole season. We're exactly a quarter of the way through. But this is a problem that's been happening for 3 years. You know, I understand if people are frustrated at this point.
Yeah, it's not only frustrating, it's concerning. The concern has to be real at this point. Busy, best part of Brunson is we never have to see another late game Julius Randle ISO.
Mm-mm. Never say never.
Yeah.
Well, ISO is the thing, Jeremy, because the play, I think if Randle gets it is like we saw it in the Charlotte game where Randle got it because there was gravity toward Brunson and he got a path to the rim and got a layup out of it.
No, I totally understand that. I'm just saying in terms of like Brunson was questionable tonight. If he sits a game, happens in that case?
That reality. Oh, okay. Yeah,
Jalen Brunson's not going to play 82 games. I don't think. Maybe he will. Good comment though, Izzy.
My screen jumped. Give me a second.
Okay. I'm actually, you know what I'm looking up?
What's
that
up?
I'm curious about? I want to look up how the Knicks are doing this year in clutch situations.
Oh.
Because
as a team or individual players?
No, as a team.
And then look at how everyone else not named Jalen Brunson is doing.
Because last year they as a team, they were god awful in clutch situations. Here we go. So in clutch situations this year, the Knicks have the 14th best clutch net rating in the league. Plus 6.8. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, certainly an improvement over last year. Their clutch defense is 18th in the league. Their clutch offense is 9th in the league. Wow. It's pretty good. Kevin Danishevsky, substitute Pascal or OG and OG for RJ and Randall. Championship team? We were talking about this earlier. I'll let you guys answer.
No.
I'll say no, but pretty good.
Better team. And
definitely better.
I'm guessing Kevin's talked to you, John, about his buy-in for Jalen Brunson is apparent, but his like better than Fred VanVleet, and to an extent, if you look at the numbers exactly right, better than Pascal Siakam, and it's why you put him on the Raptors in that role, and you know you get to see what he is, and I think neither team in a collection of players is a championship contender.
No, there's no one who's capable of being a top 10 player.
No,
at least performing like one.
No.
They're one superstar away from making some serious noise. But until then, they're kind of just where the Raptors are right now if they're healthy, which is maybe 6 seed in the East.
Yeah, 5 or 6 seed. I agree.
Good question, Kev.
Wait, what do you think, John?
I don't think they're quite there.
There.
I don't think they're quite there. Equals peace. Randall off the bench is the sixth man. Never in a million years with this franchise.
On the Suns, yeah. Absolutely.
On a lot of other teams. I think on a lot of other teams. I think that's his NBA destiny. I think within 2 years, when he's off the Knicks, you're going to see him as a sixth man on a good team. That's his destiny.
Last but not least.
Is it? Okay. You got me scared with the 3-hour talk. Sam Garcia. Yes, I am a college student. I attend Ohio State. Hey, the Ohio State University.
Very rough weekend for you, Sam. Sam.
I don't know what happened.
Sorry about that. The college football games were played, and they played Michigan. The game, as they call it.
Oh, the game.
And Michigan won 43-22. No, Jeremy?
24.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I was watching it on my phone with my future father-in-law at the Rangers game because we thought the third period of the Rangers game was not going to matter. They were up 3-0, and then Edmonton scored 4 goals. You know, John, I know you don't have Instagram, but I tagged you on Instagram this weekend.
No, I do have it. I just don't open it.
I know you don't know how to use Instagram, but I tagged you in a story because they were having fun in the in-house entertainment. With awkward dance cams and intermission shootouts between children. And, you know, I knew that you would hate that. You would tell the kids to go sit down and watch the Zamboni machine.
I would hate it, and I do hate it.
I know.
Let's give out some game balls and detentions and do predictions. Get out of here.
Game balls.
All right.
Candidates. John, read them.
Jalen Brunson, Emmanuel Quickly, Jericho Sims, Mike White. Jeremy, you go first.
Jalen Brunson. Easy. Boom.
As always. I will go. It's tough because Jericho Sims didn't even play tonight.
It's a whole week.
What?
It's a whole week.
I know, but he didn't play tonight. I'll go Emmanuel Quickly. I hate that he got hurt tonight, but he was playing well tonight. And he was the second best player on the floor against Portland. And I really, 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 really hope Emmanuel Quickly is okay. Because, man, tonight he hit like 2 threes, right? Or am I imagining that? No, he hit 1 3. He hit his only 3 tonight. He hit a couple threes the other night. I think he's about to go on a run. It's just he needs to stay healthy. All right, detention. I go first.
These are the candidates.
The candidates are... RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, perpetually, apparently, Tom Thibodeau, or the ABL. The
ABL.
American Basketball League. It was a league that died off in the mid-60s.
Okay.
But
instituting the three-point line in their league in 1961, which would be adopted by the NBA in 1979, all leading to the Knicks being unable to shoot it 42 years later. Thank you for that.
If the three-point line didn't exist, we wouldn't have these problems, John.
Sure. It's like Sophie's choice. Take both kids.
Dark. Jesus.
Julius. Now and forever.
Oh. Okay. Well, easy. Tom Thibodeau. I'm kidding. I just wanted to see the reaction on John's face. He broke, but he did not. RJ.
I don't know. Benching Grimes tonight was pretty bad. All right. Predictions. I just, I suck.
So you're going. You were so close with that Blazers game.
Oh man,
but after the Thunder game, I thought, all right, John's gonna win because I think they could get the Blazers game, and then they just.
So what am I 0-5?
Yeah, and I mean, I would have gone 1-1 with that first week, but we'll hide that because it wasn't official. So we're good. But yeah, so you're 0-5. So what do we have here?
We have Tuesday at Detroit, Wednesday, Milwaukee home, Saturday, Dallas home. That's a 12:30 start time for anybody planning your Saturday plans around the Mavs Knicks game. And then Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel as this week, Cleveland, 6 p.m. home also.
I am going to go with 2-2.
Knew you're going to do that.
Yes.
I can't say 3-1, can I? Jesus Christ. Killing me here. At Detroit, Milwaukee, Dallas. Man, they played Dallas well. And they owe Cleveland one.
We'll say 3-1 does get the Knicks to what exactly, John?
Your favorite number.
500.
500. Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-3.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cuz I could see them going into Detroit and losing and then coming back and like beating Milwaukee and be like, "Oh. Okay. That was hey." And then losing to Dallas and Cleveland. Like the odds that they win 3 of these next 4, I could see that too. I want to say 3-1 and I think 3-1 is possible. I'm going to go 1-3.
Jeremy, were you trying to get him to take 3-1?
Like, yeah, I was.
Mind games with him.
But I also thought
1-3 is the obvious pick if it's not 2-2.
But I think there's something to be said of what John is saying, where the Cleveland game, you know, there's going to be a lot with Donovan Mitchell and the game back in New York with the trade and everything and the Knicks wanting to stop him. 3-1 is a tall task.
I mean,
I could see it happening for sure.
Let's just acknowledge this team has a worse net rating than the Los Angeles Lakers right now.
Yep.
The 25th in the league in net rating. Here are the teams that, by point differential, the Knicks are better than. The Spurs, the Pistons, the Rockets, the Magic, and the Hornets, a.k.a. unequivocally the worst 5 teams in the league. The Knicks are better than the worst 5 teams in the league, who have been the worst 5 teams in the league by a considerable margin. And also, by the way, those teams account for 1, 2, 3, 4 of the Knicks wins, right? They beat Charlotte once, Orlando once, Detroit twice. Yeah. I'll go 1-3. And with that, we're out. Thank you, GMAC.
You're welcome. The Jets are 7-4.
You took the words out of my mouth. Congratulations. Sorry, at 7-4.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen.
The Giants are 7-4.
Yes. Not you didn't want to be, but no. The Giants are 7-4.
It happens.
Thank you to our friends at WinBet. One more time, go make sure you download that WinBet app if you want to play some sports wagers, sports stuff.
Do the thing.
Yes, download the WinBet app or visit www.winbet.com to start winning. Hopefully more than the Knicks. Sign up today to receive a special offer. The special offer is real, by the way. If you're just waiting, just get the special offer. Bet $100 and you win $100. Download BetWin. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Everybody stayed with us for this whole thing. God love you. And hopefully Knicks get a couple wins this week. Talk to you soon. Peace out.
That's a 7-4.